I want to read from the book of Isaiah in chapter 50. Just comment a little bit tonight. I think you'll agree that things are happening everywhere such an astounding way until it is almost unreal. A few years back, I told my companion, and we have it on tape here, where I spoke of the judgments of God falling and how that they would fall and be so terrible and increase greater and mightier. And since that time, many hundreds of things have taken place. And I spoke of changes in the government, changes in the elements among the religious fervors of life, how that the lights would go out and that you would be astounded at some of the things that would take place. And it's like I told my wife the other day, I was sitting talking about judgment when the phone rang and somebody said, this sister has died. And just prior to that, the phone rang and said this crash along the way it happened. And I was talking to her about judgment and I was just saying, Betty, it's been bad since the day I spoke to you about it, but it's going to get a lot worse. If you think the judgments are falling fast and things are bad now, you just give it a little time because it's going to get a lot worse. A lot worse than what it is right now. People, more and more, that do wrong in the day that we're living in, just immediately judgment strikes. Used to it take many years. Now it just takes a few months. It's getting down to weeks. It'll come on down to where you can do something wrong today and judgment will hit you before the day is over. It's going to narrow on down. Because the more we know, the more that God requires. And to that servant that knew to do his Lord's will, that is to say, as God reveals his will, the more, and we understand it the clearer. To that servant to whom the will of the Lord has been revealed, he said, if he doesn't do what I tell him to do, I'll beat him with many stripes. But in the past, the servant that knew not to do the Lord's will, as we would say, that was undeveloped and not skillful in the word, the Bible teaches it, the Lord has beat him with few stripes. So we need to wake up. I say this to the younger generation that's coming on, not as to the teenagers of 18 and 19 years old. You're running into plenty of problems already. And thousands of your kind as to teenagers are being slaughtered, killed. I mean the ones in the churches too. I just heard of a girl from a Jesus Name church. She was killed a few days ago here near Monroe. And they said just before she was killed, the Spirit of God warned through prophecies and different things that she was headed for problems. So I'm not speaking of those 18, 19 years old, 20 or 25 years old. I'm speaking of them that's coming on now from about 12 years old on up or younger. Them that's moving on in 13 or 14 years old. Young folk, you are in for a sad situation. You're going to know so much about God until you're going to be branded as a sinful, adulterous generation that he's literally going to slaughter by the thousands and tens of thousands. So you at Bethlehem especially, or you that hear my voice, you that can understand, you'd better pull in your sails and cast anchor and begin to get close to God. You'd better do something. Because you can reject my words. It doesn't matter. You know, it's up to you. But you're going to be sorry that you didn't incorporate these things into your life. You're going to be sorry. It's like the man that is in the suffering condition as reported even today. I understand the liver's about gone because of drink being warned. It didn't do any good. And cursing and drinking and going on and being right under religion and knowing all about it, knowing about these things and having a religious thing in the home, still paying no attention to it, has been broken all to pieces. And I heard a voice say, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And they said, he gave the report the other day, he said, I have never been in pain in all of my life like I'm in now. And even the other individual, it's only been a few days back, just 3 or 4 days, I guess it was, that I was just sitting, thinking on the Lord, and something dealt with me. And I said in my heart, I said, this young man is in serious trouble, for he's fixing to really feel the hand of God because of what he's done. You can't say things about Bethlehem and different places and people as these people have done and are doing, that's running into some of these things. You can't do it and get by with it. There's no way. These people here are praying and seeking God and giving their substance and out in the rain and the cold and doing these things. And then you go off and you make smart remarks while you eat and drink, and they pray for you and they try to uphold you in prayer and do something for you. And you go off and say things. You can't do that. You can't do that. You might think you can do that, but you can't do that. The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. You might say, well, I've got by with it. I know many of these others did too for months and years. And some of them's passing away now that I talked to, I preached to, I pleaded with. I said, well, what horrible thing did they do? As one asked the father the other day, what horrible thing have I done that this should come upon me? It's not always the horrible thing that you've done as to what you term being horrible. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines, in that our vines have tender grapes. And the bad part is that you've been worldly. Not that you've been so horrible as to what man would call being horrible, but you've just been worldly. You've been carnal-minded. You've been gullible for the things of the flesh. Your desire was to eat and drink and ride and do the things you wanted to, and neglect the brotherhood and the sisters and the need of salvation and the other things of God and of life. So you just neglected, you just pushed it aside, you just went your way, you didn't think much about it. And of course it's costing the life. It's costing the life. And it will cost the soul. It will also cost you your soul. Some of you youth that roam about on the campground here at Bethlehem, you roam to and fro. You roam about. You don't get your minds into nothing to try to help or try to get control of yourself. You listen to the wrong things on the radio and the TVs and whatever here on the campground. You curse and you smoke. I know that you do all these things. I get it firsthand, a lot of times from God. And then sometimes it's brought to me in that the Bible said a little bird will carry the matter. And to you women that lust like you do in your thoughts and in your heart and in resent and gossip and backbite and find fault, sit around the table saying things about people and discussing people, it's going to come to your house as a sword, and it's going to strike hard. And you men that are always lusting and saying things, and especially after women and after the things of the world, God is going to set a fire to your barley fields one day, and you're not going to be able to put it out. You think, the Bible said, that I'm altogether such a one as you are. But he said, someday I'll meet you face to face as a bear that is robbed of her cubs. And you that have forgotten God, I'll tear you into pieces. So I wound, I bind up, I kill, I make alive. I rule in the affairs of mankind. Can evil come to a city? And I'm not sent it, saith the Lord. I have my way in the good and I have my way in the evil. So I say these things to you to make you stop and think. I see these things coming, and I say something about it a lot of times, but some of you don't place very much emphasis on the things that I tell you. Even here in the services, you pay very little attention to it so as to incorporate this in your life. I just said those things. I want to read here a little bit in the book of Isaiah. I want to read a familiar scripture here first. Let's start in the 49th chapter. Let's just read a little bit. Listen, the first word the prophet starts off with is listen. That is, the Bible said to give more earnest, the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. Listen, any time you should let them slip. And then the Bible said, take heed how that you hear these things. Take heed how that you hear them. Don't be critical. Don't be critical. Whatever you do, don't be critical. Listen, O isles, unto me. hearken, and hearken, you people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me. And said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth; to them that are in darkness, show thyself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastors shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinai. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and I will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyer, and they that make thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ointment, and bind them on thee as a bride doth. For thy wastes and thy desolate places in the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow, by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far off. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath forgotten me? These, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust at thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with them that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I drop the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, that I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindled a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hands, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Now, if you'll notice, you that are Bible scholars, some of you I realize are not Bible scholars, but you that are Bible scholars, if you'll notice that this is continually speaking of Jesus and continually speaking of Calvary. If I didn't believe the New Testament, if I didn't have any confidence at all in the New Testament, not any at all, reading this in the book of Isaiah, it would convince me. Because these are the things that Jesus had reference to when he referred back to these things. He spoke of these things, had reference to them. And again and again, he made mention of numbers of things that I have read right here. Right here where I spoke of being a light, where it said would be a light to the ends of the world. It is brought out concerning Paul as to the days of the Gentiles, saying that this is the fulfillment of the Scripture. And it is spoken right here. And to restore, and he said, to bring a salvation to the Gentiles. And he said, as thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee. Speaking of Calvary, this is made reference to. And then he goes on to say so many other things as to say, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. That is my beard. And he goes on to point out one thing right after another that we could take time to read here. Of all of these things that's referred back to when it comes to the Lord Jesus coming, even to where he spoke of the prisoners here, over there in the New Testament, he speaks of loosening the prisoners. And then, of course, he speaks here of divorcing Israel. And in divorcing Israel, he comes over to the Gentiles. And he speaks of bringing in the Gentiles. And he also refers to them as with Israel, his nation. And he tells of the things that will happen in the last time, as to the earth and the heavens vanishing away with smoke and waxing old like a garment. So many, many things. He goes to chapter 53, asking the question, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Then he speaks of Jesus growing up as a tender plant, having no comeliness that they should desire him or beauty. And he goes on to say he's despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And he goes on to say that he hath borne our grief, carried our sorrows, yet we didn't esteem him. He was smitten of God and afflicted, bruised for our transgressions and iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Like sheep, we've all gone astray, and he hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was the one that did not open his mouth and was led to the slaughter as a lamb. And he was taken from prison. No one to declare his judgment or his generation. He was cut off from the land of the living. He was stricken for the people. He made his grave with the rich, the Bible said, in death, because he had done no violence. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief. And then it goes on to say, he travailed. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He was numbered with the transgressors, bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. And with this, he follows through by saying, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing, speaking to you and I, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall be he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all the children shall, thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals and the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So you can see here that God is calling all nations, and he is promising to the Gentiles and to the Jews and all people as one people. He is promising them righteousness according to the works of Calvary. He is telling them that they can sing, that they'll not be barren anymore, that we'll reproduce in the earth and bring forth a great army for a great nation for his glory, and that he will make the windows of agates and the gates of carbuncles and pleasant stones, and lay the foundations with sapphire, that is, precious jewels. He said, when I come to make up my jewels. And he said, and no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. You know, this was the blessing that we had as a nation. When the forefathers came over and they established a religious nation, then in doing this, we had a great, mighty promise of God. And that is, being a religious nation and carrying on the things of our forefather, are going according to the Bible and trying to establish a government according to the Bible, we had this great promise that nothing would ever bother us, that no weapon that was formed would ever prosper against us. It would not matter what nation would rise up against us. We would always win out. We would always overthrow them. And it's been that way down through the years. God has kept bloodshed from America. Almost every nation in the world has had bloodshed on their land from war, but not in America. God has always prospered America, always blessed America, always kept America free from bloodshed. And every battle that has been fought outside of the gates, as we say, in the foreign fields. Our boys leave here, they go over there to fight on the foreign fields. Though one day it's coming to America. One day it's coming to America. We've had the privilege of these wonderful things simply because we love the Lord, and we preach the gospel, and we tried to serve God, and we tried to be a religious nation that took the gospel to all the world. But now we've turned around, and we've become a parasite sort of a nation. We've become bankrupted. We've turned to communism. We've turned to paganistic practices. Our people go around even with writings on their clothing saying that they worship the devil. And we've got all kind of witches and all kind of things that our government has allowed for. They have stooped so low that they have now made allowance for the sodomites of America. And it has become a corruptible nation of greed. And they are waiting for the judgments of God. See, no weapon formed against thee shall ever prosper, as long as you do the will of God. As long as I walk in the way of God, as long as I do the things of God, there is no weapon that can prosper against me. There is nothing that you can do to make it prosper against me. There is no person that can rise up and condemn me in the judgment. God will not receive one accusation from anyone. For the Bible said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because it is God that justified, it is God that has made us righteous. It is God that said, come to the waters, come and buy without money, come and partake of this. Let whosoever will come and partake freely. So it is by his righteousness that we're justified in the sight of God, because we are Christians. We love the Lord, we're Christ-like, we follow God, and because of this, then God favors us, and we find the favoritism of God, and we honor the Lord with our substance, whether it's our mind, our brain, our eyes, our hands, our ears, our words, whether it's our money, whether it's whatever it might be, we honor God with it. Our barns are filled with plenty. Our presses are bursting out with new wine. We're full of health. We're full of strength. We're full of vision. We're full of youth. We're full of ego for God. Because God has blessed us. God has given us all these wonderful things. All of these wonderful things belong to me, not because I have lived holy, but because Jesus lived holy. But they come to me because I have tried to do what's right. I have leaned upon His righteousness and tried to please Him, saying, Lord, I know that my ways don't please You, but by grace, by faith, my heart is perfect before You. And I'm trying to make my ways to please You. I'm trying to do the things that please You, that I might have this faith, I have this confidence, so that no weapon that is formed will prosper against me. So that no one can rise up in the judgment or the day of judgment and condemn me. So that I can be a wholesome people, a delightful people, filled with joy, filled with the blessings of God, filled with prosperity, filled with the wonderful things of Christ. You know, when we first come here to Bethlehem, I had a group of people that was very dedicated. To begin with, these people had a little problem. But they listened to me and they became very dedicated. As they became dedicated and pressed in more and more, God prospered them. God blessed them. He blessed them on the home front. He blessed them abroad. He blessed them on their jobs. He gave them prosperity. But see, it's with them as it was in the days of Moses when they started into Canaan. The warning was, beware when you enter into Canaan. And when God has given you the desires of your heart, beware, he said. Lest ye forget God and say, who is God that I should honor God and obey God? I got plenty to eat. I have what I want. Who is God? You know, beware. Beware. And here at Little Bethlehem, it's been that way. You've entered into a Canaan. You've entered into blessings. You've entered into riches. You've entered into prosperity. And you've been a changed people. You've become gullible. You've got more interested in the monetary side of it than you did the spiritual side of it. You got more interested in doing your own thing and trusting to luck than you did in believing God and praying and seeking God to have faith in the righteousness of God. And so then you become gullible, you become careless, you got clear out of bounds, you don't pray, you don't fast, you don't study your Bible, you don't seek God, you don't press in to try to help the widows and the orphans, you don't try to lay aside your jobs that you might do something for God here on the home front, even to help the minister or the brotherhood or the sisters. Like today, and it's been the last couple of days, I see a man pull out from across the road. I see him go to his work. I watch him. Not because I look to see him, but God will call my attention to it. And I look, and as I told someone today, I said, you see that car or that vehicle? I said, you see that man? I said, that man for years hasn't been able to find time to come and help us. He was always too religious, too busy, or he was too spiritual. You know, he was too tired. He was too whatever. You know, and he wouldn't come and help us. Hardly ever did he come and help us. But I noticed that all of a sudden he got him a job. He got him his own thing. Now he's doing his own thing. He's got his own income. He's got something he likes, something he can excel in, something his natural mind feeds off of. And I watch him with a regularity. He's like the tick of a clock. He rolls continually. He's going continually. He visits this place continually. He does his work continually. Got plenty of time, just plenty of time. Now, so what does that spell to you and I? What does that mean to God? It means the man's not straight. It means the man's not right with God. It means the man's carnal-minded. He's gullible for the things of the world. It means that he's intellectual. It means that when he can do his own thing and have his own income and be his own boss and do what he wants to do, that he'll do it. And he's got plenty of interest and plenty of ego. And he can get up and go. But when it comes to God's things, he doesn't have any time. He doesn't have any interest. You know, that's sad, folks, but that's some of the people that we've got in Bethlehem that lives on the campground. That's some of the people that we've got here that comes in and out of Bethlehem. Some that doesn't live here on the campground, but does come to church here. That's some of the people. See, people, as I say, they come around, they waste their time. They don't help the sisters publish the gospel. They don't get in there and labor. Whereas the Bible said it is accepted of a man, not as to a will, but as of a performance. Whatever he performs, for the child is known by his doings. And you'll be judged according to the deeds that you do. Whatever you do, as to what work you do, or the amount of work you do, whatever kind of work, this is what God is considering. This is what God is considering. Like I said to someone today, something was said about the giving to God. I believe it was today or yesterday. I said, I tell you again, it's not what you give to God. I said, it's what you have left over. God is not interested in what you give to God. I tell you that again. He is not interested in what you give to God, because God owns all the cattle. He owns all the gold. He owns all the silver. Why would he be interested in your few dollars that you give, even if you give abundantly? Why should God be interested in you? Because he can just turn the gold mines to his work if he so desires. He can just pour out manna from heaven like he did when he fed the children of Israel. Why should he be interested in you as to your income? See, God isn't interested in that. God is interested in what you have left after that you give. What you have left after you give, because giving doesn't really fulfill the Scripture. That's only a motivation toward the fulfillment of the Scripture. But when you read where it said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack, because the man that had much didn't keep anything for himself. This is faith in God, and this is the way we're saved. That's the way you're saved. It's when you give your all to God, your mind, your strength, everything that you are, you know, to God. When you make your life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When you take everything you've got in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your strength, to love him with all of your mind, with all of your substance, with all of your heart, with all of your strength, every way you love God, you give yourself continually to God, because God is a spirit, God is life, and God wants to possess the reins of your heart, and God wants to get down in your life, and God wants to take you just like one would take clay and mold it into his own fashion, into his own goodness. You might come in and out, and you might be religious, and you might relate to God. You might have your business, you might have your own thing, and you might have whatever you want. You know, and God will bless you, and God will help you, and God will receive you on the basis of that. But you're not nearly pleasing God, not nearly pleasing God. See, God's ultimatum is one thing, and that is you become one with him. He created your human body for one purpose, and that is for your body to become a spiritual being. For your body to become spirit. For every thought that comes through your mind to be godly thoughts. Every impulse, every intent of the heart, every plan, every program, whatever your career of life is, let it be Jesus. So then it's what you have left over. Not as to what you give, but as to what you left over. I may give 2 hours of my strength to God, but that's not God's interest. God wants to know about the other 22 hours around the clock, as we would say. What did I do with them? I might give him all of my strength around the clock except 2 hours. God still wants to know why I withheld the 2 hours. For if you keep the whole law, and the Bible said offend in one point, you're guilty of all. If you live all of your life, every day, every moment, every second, all of your life, down to the last second of time, and you fail to live your life that second for God, you lost all the rest of it. That's what the Bible teaches. If you think every thought around the clock for God, and you fail to give him one thought, God is displeased, because he said to bring into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, that you might be perfect, to be therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven. And he speaks of the man of God that's perfect and said, this man's delight is in the laws of God, and in his laws doth he meditate day and night. This man shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters, the rivers of waters, and he'll bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth. The Bible said that man shall prosper. All right, so then we see God's ultimatum in the life of men. We're not trying to programize something to where you go out and convert millions of people to where this one will do this and this one will do that and another one will surrender X amount of hours or X amount of dollars or whatever. That's not God's program. God's program is to come into your heart and life and rule and reign until you are as it was with Jesus, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that you're walking with God every hour and every day till you can say it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. If you can't do that, then you're not pleasing God. It is your reasonable service to give your bodies a living sacrifice, not your mind. It didn't say your mind. It didn't say your spirit. It said your bodies. That is the muscular part of your body. The bones and flesh of your body. Whether it's hammering or whether it's sawing or whether it's fasting or whether it's praying or whatever the effort is of your body, your physical being, to give your body a living sacrifice. Daily, the Bible said, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, this is but reasonable. All right. Think on it. Who then is our example? Well, I might look at an individual and I might say, that person, I admire that person because they just give themselves so much to God. They are my example. That is true in that we are our brother's keeper. But that's not your example, because somewhere there's a shortcoming there. You look down through the telescope of time, or you look back into history. You look back there, and every individual that ever lived on the face of the earth had a shortcoming. There was something wrong in the life of David. There was something wrong in the life of Abraham. There was something wrong in the life of Jacob. There was something wrong in the life of Samuel, all the way down. But there was not anything wrong with our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, and we are to follow in His steps, in whose mouth there was no guile, neither was sin found in His life in any way. They said, I find no fault in this just man. That's our example. To follow you, to follow me, to follow Abraham, to follow David, to follow Jacob, to follow any of those, that's ideal. That's good. That's wonderful. But you follow them as they followed Christ. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. Follow Peter as he followed Christ. Follow Brother Pike, Brother Taylor, as we follow Christ. Follow us as we follow Christ. Wherever we fail to go on with God, you go on with God. Wherever we stop short of the mark of the perfectness of God, that is, the Bible said, go on to be perfect, go on to a full reward, be therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect, go on to perfection. If we fail, wherever we fail, you go on. If you see a shortcoming in our lives where we speak something wrong or think something wrong or react wrong, you just press over that and you go on to perfection and keep looking at Christ, because He is your example. He is the one that we're supposed to follow. Folks, if you can't do this, then you can't have that wonderful full reward that God spoke of. Day and night, we should meditate in His laws. When you enter into His gates, it should be with thanksgiving. When you come into His courts, it should be with praise. While you're sitting here, you should not sit in the seat of the scornful. You should delight yourself in the Lord and in the laws of the Lord. And you shouldn't let your mind wander on the flesh and wander on people and wander on things and wander on problems. You should take no thought for tomorrow. For the Bible said not to take any thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. The evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. We're not to think about tomorrow. We're to think about right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, somebody said, I could never do that, Brother Pike. Well, those around the throne said, holy, 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 day and night, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, just and true, holy, 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 they never ceased, even throughout eternity. It'll never cease around the clock. So then somebody says, well, bless God, I sure wouldn't have no happiness just hollering holy, holy all the time. If that's what salvation is, I thought I was going to eat and drink and ride and see heaven and do all these wonderful things. I'll tell you what, you just don't understand, that's all. Let's give the Lord a hand. You just don't understand. Those beasts are right in the presence of the fountain of life. Right in the presence of the fountain of life. Can't you just picture yourself out on a hot day, right in the fountain of water that was just right, and just bubbling, and you just splattering and splashing, and never getting tired? Couldn't you just picture yourself saying, man, I just can't stay out. Y'all got to get out of this. Couldn't you just picture yourself doing that? Couldn't you picture a thirsty man? Can't you just picture him? You know, he's thirsty and he's just thirsting to death. And here's a glass of water. He takes a little swallow, says, I throw his stuff away. He'll drink it. He said, pour me another glass. Pour me another glass. Some of you are about that bad about Coca-Cola and whatever, you know. Go to the fountain and, you know, the refrigerator, and you're back over there, and after a while you got all kind of problems with the kidneys and everything else. And you say, man, I just wonder, it looks like the Lord's just killing me. Let's give him another hand. Right? So then, he said, thine iniquities have caused your problems. Your lack of reasoning, your lack of understanding, your lack of drawing close to God, your lack of vision. Without a vision, you perish. Folks, I tell you what, we will get in line with God and do the things that please God, really get down to business with God, we'd be healthy and strong. Somebody said, well, how long could I live if I'd done that? Forever and forever and forever and forever. Oh, no, no. Somebody says, well, Enoch is doing it. Enoch is doing it. All right, there's no strange thing that we've got to go through or discover in that we can do that. Enoch is doing it, has been doing it for a long time. I want to say that I appreciate every one of you. I appreciate you coming. If you're first time being here, I appreciate it. Or whenever, I appreciate it. I appreciate those that are regular, those that try to keep the rules of the campground and trying to keep things clean and godly and pure. We run into trouble when we make allowance even for our children or anything else. We run into the judgments of God. But I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that Brother Vince sent in another $500. He done give $500 toward our trip, and he said the other night there at the men's meeting, he said, I want you to go first class for the pipe. I said, Vince, if I could just go business class, I'd be happy. You know, sitting in the coach, just the regular coach, we've traveled that way about every time we've ever went, and it is some more problems. I mean, it's a problem. They've got them pushed together like sausage. And like I say, they got one little armrest. And you try to be nice, and the other fellow, he accepts your niceness, and he takes it, and you sit like this for about all day and all night long, you know. Can't hardly stretch out. They got the seats, so we won't lean back. And when it's business class, usually it's just a couple of seats, and your wife isn't climbing over everybody, and everybody climbing over her, and you're not climbing over everybody. It's just a couple of seats, and you can get in and out, you know, and the seats lean back a little bit to where you can relax. I think it's about $1,000 more, though, to travel that way. But Brother Vince, it wasn't just business class. He said first class. Of course, that's several $1,000s more, I think. I'd be very grateful just to be able to have it to where Betty and I could just be reasonably comfortable, especially when you're going to be traveling for about a month. I appreciate Vince. I appreciate it. Appreciate everything that you do. Some of you resent because others give, because you know you don't give and it makes you feel bad. But then there are those that perhaps they don't give as much in the finance, but they do of their strength in helping me. And then there's some that don't give in the finance and they don't give of their strength. They don't give of anything. They're just busybodies. Especially in other men's matters. But I can truthfully say that Vince, he and his companion, they sacrifice as to their substance. And then Vince gives of his strength. He works a lot of times, many hard hours, out on the job and here with us, pouring cement or whatever the strenuous task is. I thank the Lord for that. I started by a couple of people the other day, yesterday I believe it was. I was going into the house and wasn't thinking anything about it. And these two people was working. And they've been trying to work for a number of days now to help me out here in some of the work around what they call the Father's house. And as I started by, the Lord dealt with me and he let me know that he was going to bless these two people. And I thought, well, I'm going to tell them. I'm going in the house right now, but I'm going to tell them what the Lord let me know. And I started in the house, and I got in the house, and I thought, well, I can't stop. And I went straight in the back door, through the house, and straight out the front door, right back to where they were, because I just couldn't keep from telling them what the Lord had let me know. You know, God notices things. He notices you. You might go out there every day, and you might think that God doesn't notice that. You might think that God doesn't notice your sufferings, your sorrows, your sacrifices, your problems, your givings, your efforts. But He does. He notices every bit of it. Like if Cornelius, down there, God said, go down to this man's house. Said, I've seen his efforts. I've seen his sacrifices. What he has done has become a memorial. And it's reached up clear up into heaven before me. Go down there and tell this man. The angel went down there. Go tell him. God was going to reward him. Tell him. So God sees it. I know that a lot of your sorrows is from your foolishness. My sorrows, David of old said, my wounds stink because of my foolishness. A lot of times you're wounded and you're bruised and you're cast aside and you have problems and sorrows and wrecks and all kinds of things. You go hungry and lacking. Just because of your foolishness, you won't listen to anybody or try to listen to the Word of God. And many of you are in that kind of condition. Some of you are independent, overconfident. You feel like that you're on your way to heaven when you're not. I got a man that he aggravates me. He sits in my congregation. Even now I feel his spirit. He's so confident and independent in his feeling of what he is and who he is and where he's at. And I tell you before the living God, I've told him over and over, he's not there at all. As a matter of fact, he's very shortcoming. To the extent that he'll have to walk soft to be able to make it in. I'm telling you. I have seen him numbers of times, and he's going to have to walk soft. Though he's right in with what we're doing, he's very busy in what we're doing. He's a full partaker of what we're doing. He's active in the offices of what we're doing, but the man is shortcoming. And the one thing that's wrong with him is that he has too much confidence in his own ability and own self and thinks too highly of himself. And eventually, if he doesn't do something, he'll lose out with God altogether. Because more and more this aggravates me in my services. His mind is not right. His thoughts aren't right. Even toward me, they're not right. His confidence in himself causes him not to properly submit to what I say or listen to what I say. As to esteem it properly. Well, as I say this again, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you've never looked up the word mockery, look up it. Look it up, that is. Look up the word. To lightly esteem. And when you don't give the mornest heed to what God is saying, or if you don't take heed how that you hear it, then you lightly esteem it as to your own reasoning and your own thinking. To lean to your own understanding. And of course that's satanic. And you lose out with God. So every thought into subjection. The man of God doesn't have to worry about that. The woman of God doesn't have to worry about that. Because they have the mind of Christ. And they have the sweet spirit of God. And they don't have to worry about them kind of thoughts. Because they don't have any kind of thoughts. Did you know that? A man of God, a woman of God, they don't have them kind of thoughts. They don't have them. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that wrong thoughts don't come to a man or a woman? That's a Christian? I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Every junkie there is, if he'll get a chance, will come to him and try to use his ear or head for a garbage can. But the man of God and the woman of God, they won't even allow reflex. They won't even allow intents of the heart. They won't do that. They won't do that. One tiny reflex, one tiny intent of the heart, just one tiny thing, they won't have that. They won't have that. I've caught myself down through my lifetime, still do. I'll just be happy, meditating the Lord and thinking about God, and all of a sudden a thought will come by. Not even a bad thought, but just something that could be bad. in that it might try to draw my attention or whatever. And I have to watch. Because as it goes, I find myself shaking my head like that because I don't want it to even register on my brain. I don't even want the reflex of it in my thoughts or in my system. I don't want it at all. If my eyes run across something on a billboard or anywhere and I'm just going along like this, shaking my head and turning away like that, I don't want it. I don't want it to register in my mind. I don't want it to register in my mind at all. Now, why is that? Because I want the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want the Son of God. I want His way. I want His mind. I want His thoughts. I want God to forgive me for the intents of my heart and the reflex of my mind. I don't want any thoughts, not any thoughts, coming to me. Men and women of God, they don't think evil. Charity thinketh no evil. Never. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Charity never at any time thinks evil. He that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one never touches him at any time. So all of this gossip, backbiting, lust, all of this temper, all of this evil communication, evil surmising, all of these things that you give yourself to, folks, it's because you're not born again. It's because you're not born again. I don't say that you're not a believer. I don't say that you haven't had an experience with God. But I do say that you're not born again. See, you couldn't do that. A born again child of God couldn't do that. You take a little child that's growing up, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes. A little child that's growing up, you know, he's a baby. He might stumble. He might stagger. You know, he might bump his hand over here on the heater. He might do a little something, cut his finger or whatever. He didn't mean to do that. He just didn't know that. And he ran into that thing, you know, and he'll just cry and you have to bind it up and love him. God does that to the little children. He said, feed my little lambs. But when you get older, you don't go over and stick your finger on the heater. You know better than that. Who's foolish enough to do that? See, or mess around with things like that. You're supposed to be grown-ups. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted like a child. I done childish things. When I grew up, then I put away childish things. All right, let's stand together. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. Are you glad that you're Christian? Are you willing to sacrifice to be God's leader, to give yourself holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? Do you want to be clean and godly and holy and pure and upright? I do. I have for many, many years. I do. Day and night, I do. Somebody says, if you cheat on your wife, why should you? Oh, wait, you know, if you thought these thoughts. I'm not concerned about whether she'll know it or not. I'm not concerned about that. Before I became a Christian, I was concerned about it even when I was away from my companion in my early marriage. I married at a real young age. I didn't want to cheat on in my thoughts even then. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to cheat on God. I don't want to cheat on God. Never. At any time, not for one tiny flicker of a moment. I don't want to cheat on God. Never. No, never at all. I stumble and I stagger. God has to lift me up and God has to help me. But the Bible says the pure in heart shall see God. If a man thinks pure in his heart, so he is. If he doesn't think pure in his heart, then he's not pure. So, the Bible said, abstain from fleshly lust, or that is worldly desire, that warreth against the spirit. Well, there is a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. So it's not a matter of trying to be true to my companion. I want to be true to God. Even in the hunger and thirst of natural things, just the natural things of life. You know, cars and houses and lands and clothing and fame and popularity and all the other different things of revenge as to temper, as to satisfying myself when somebody's hurting me, as to come back at it. I don't want those kind of things. See, I don't want any thought toward those things, any hunger toward those things, any thirst toward those things, any desire toward those things. I don't want it. I just want exactly what God wants me to have and what He's ordained that I should have. And that's all. Just as to what is pure and holy in my life. No matter what it is, if it's a house, if it's a home, if it's a wife, if it's children, as the Bible speaks of those things that come from God, they're pure. Even the knowledge of God is peaceful and pure. And the bed of the married undefiled and all. But the whoremonger, the harlot, God will judge him, the Bible says. So, I want to be godly. I want to be holy. I want to be pure all the way. We can be that way. We can be that way. If we want to be that way. I don't want to go around evil surmising, judging my brother, thinking, well, old brother so-and-so, I think about old brother so-and-so, I think he does that, I think she does this, you know, or I connive in my mind, you know, and manipulate here and there as to my advantage and think, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't have no desire to do that. If I don't feel like you're right with God, you know, if it's my duty as a brother or my duty as a minister, I just come to you and I say, look, I don't see it like that. Like an individual that come and apologized to me today. The individual come right straight to me and said, I want to apologize for something I've done. I said, that's no good. That's no good. I said, I forgive you. And I do. I said, that's no good. I mean, I'm honest with you. I'm straight with you. It's no good to do the things that you know that's wrong, that will reproach me, that will reproach God, that will reproach someone else, or be a blemish or a spot in God's name or someone's name. To do those things when you know that you oughtn't to do it, and then come to say, well, I'm sorry, I apologize, forgive me. That ain't no good. That ain't no good. I forgive you, but it ain't no good. If my wife would sin against me or I would sin against her when I know better than to do that, and then I go and say, I'm sorry. She comes and says, I'm sorry. That's no good. See, that ain't no good. That ain't worth the time of day. That's why I say that these little ones, these boys, these girls, 12 and 13 years old, they're in trouble because they come to me regular saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And like I told some of them the other day, I said, you're going to go to hell. I said, you watch and see. Not sorry that they've done wrong. They go right back to it. Knowing my standards, they go right back to it. Some of the older people do the same thing. They're sorry for the loss, not for their wrong. Folks, I want to be sorry for my wrongs. Not my loss. I want to be sorry for my wrongs. I know some of you want me to hurry and let you go, but I'm not ready yet. I'll tell you softly, I'm not going to let you go like you're ready. You can always leave. I'm not going to keep you here. I'm not your Lord. You know, you just leave. Go when you want to. But I'm not going to. At these services, you might as well adjust to that. I'm not going to quit till I'm still ready. Praise God. So then, in these things, I want to be clean. I want you to be clean. Paul said, I want to present you to God without spot, without blemish. I want to present you holy and godly to God. And I feel like I will be able to present some of you. Few little flock. I believe I'll be able to do it. So I'm not interested in cheating in my mind on God. I want my heart to be clean. I want my heart to be holy. Yours should be clean. Yours should be holy. And when you come and make an excuse, when you know better than to do it, to me, it's no good. It's no good. If you mess my services up, if you mess up my job, If you mess up my life, my family, my friends, my children, spiritual children, that is, and come and say, I'm sorry, it's no good. I'll forgive you, but it ain't no good. I don't accept your apology because it's no good. You'll pay for that. Willful sin must be paid for. There's times when you're tripped up. There's times when you cannot help it. There's times when problems arise. And God accepts your apology. He accepts my apology. He forgives us our wrong. See, but when you're warned over and over and you do that, the Bible said, being often reproved to harden your heart, stiffen your neck, I'll destroy you. And there won't be no remedy for it. With all of your apologies and all of your repentance, with all of your asking, whatever, your conduct is not right. Even in the house of God, the Bible says, you come in here with thanksgiving, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You ought to know how to behave yourself, he said, in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. Some of my little boys and girls, they don't know how to behave themselves. Mothers and daddies don't make them. Mothers and daddies don't love them or stay with them enough to tutor them. They just wander around everywhere. It's a wonder if they ain't dead. If it wasn't for prayer, of my prayers and your prayers and different ones having to watch after them, they'd be dead, long gone. Like one riding down the road, I believe it was today, on his bicycle. I said something about it. I said, that kid's going to get hurt. I told him to stay out of the road. The little brother took out there after him and got him out of the road, where I thought that was real, real wonderful. But on the other hand, the little brother has been very hypocritical, cursing, smoking, doing things and riding down the road himself and leading his little brother into these things. That's one of his little brother's problems. That's one of the problems. I'd like to say this just before we close here. I appreciate the ones that give, the ones that help, the ones that help look after the situations. Brother Bullard just gave me a tanker. I needed a big tanker for water, a great big gas tanker that they haul gas in. And I was just thinking the other day, I need one. I thought for a number of months, I need one. The other day we had a discussion on it, and I thought, I need one. And Brother Larry, not knowing anything about it, went off and bought one and was going to cut it up. And it's in good shape. And he turned and gave it to me. I think it cost him maybe $1,500. He could have got a lot more out of it. Because of the metals and the potentials of it. But anyway, I thank God for that. I can fill it with water, whereas if I use the fire truck and I come to fill it up again, I couldn't do it at the well. But I can fill up this as a reserve and come right back if I run short of water at any fire, whatever, fill it up within a few minutes, and it'd be such a tremendous help to us, especially through the dross. All right, the Lord bless you. Let's sing a little chorus together. Say, well, Brother Pike, you just say too many things. You'll find out in the day of judgment that I might have said too few things to you. Or you might have listened to too few things. And many things you're going to search for, and is it going to be there? Because you don't remember. So whatever you get, that's the heavenly treasure. Put it in your earthen vessel and hold on to it, because you're going to need it. You got a long journey coming up. A long, long journey coming up. All right, let's sing this course together. Appreciate Denny and being with us tonight.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Can you sing it with me?
I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. The altars are open. Cross, you, if you'd like to come. For although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Can you sing it with me again? Oh, there's room for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus together. I'll go garden, I'll go with him through the garden, and I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go all the way where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. follow, and I'll go with him, with him. All the way. Can you sing it with me? He will give me of his grace and of his glory. He will give me of his grace and glory. He will give me of his grace and glory. And I'll go with him, all the way.
Let's sing this little chorus. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. And I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. For we're lonely for Jesus to come back. We long for Jesus Christ, our friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Let's sing this little chorus. They'll come from the east and the west.
They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Sing it again. For they'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands far to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell.
She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For she gave her the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't. Sing it again. Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't. One more time. Jesus gave her the water, and it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's sing one or two more choruses and we'll let you go. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, all the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forever. Can you sing that with me? For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, all the death triumphed, gone, sin is defeated, gone. Sing it again with me. Or he's gone. 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 For he's gone, all the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forever. Can you sing it one more time? For he's gone, gone, gone. For he's gone, all the death triumph, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. I don't want your gold or silver, I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. So I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want And I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for me. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, we'll be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, night, gonna be dressed in spotless white. And I'll be ready when the bride. Sing it. For we're ready now for Jesus to come. Oh, we're ready now for Jesus to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready now for Jesus. Sing it again. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Let's sing this little chorus together. Time shall be no more. And time shall be no more. No more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and O land, and time shall be no more. Sing it with me now. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land and time. Sing it with me again. I see my little granddaughter out there about so high, she'll clap her hands and she'll sing with me. The little grandbabies, let's sing it again. And time shall be no more, no more. Time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land and time. Just one more time together. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel understand. On the sea and land and time, just one more time together. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Let's close our eyes together and lift our hands up. And time shall be no more, no more, no more. And time shall be no more. The angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. So wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful it is to be a Christian. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Floyd to come up here, if he will, and dismiss us. While Gary's coming, don't forget the work of the Lord. Don't forget me and Betty. Pray for us. Pray for our ministry, home and abroad. And pray that God will help us to do something for Him. I think so much and so many times about having to stand before the judgment, stand before God. I think of it all the time. It stays on my heart. Folks, I'm telling you the truth. I lie not, my conscience bearing witness, and the Holy Ghost. It stays on my mind and conscience all the time, day and night, that I've got to stand before my Redeemer. I've got to stand before God. And I'm always praying and saying, oh Lord, please help me. Please help me, Jesus. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please make me right. Oh Heavenly Father, please don't let me stumble. Don't let me stagger. Don't let me do wrong. Don't let me say nothing wrong to hurt anybody. Don't let me think wrong. And I know sometimes, you know, the way I have to preach, the things that I say, and out on the job and the different things, I know you think that I'm heartless, you know, and that you think, well, Brother Pike is so cruel. But honestly, I don't ever mean to hurt you, never at any time. I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. A father that chastens his child, he isn't trying to hurt it. He's trying to help the child. The Bible said if you're without chastisement, you don't have a heavenly Father. And He's not trying to hurt you, even though chastisement is grievous for the moment. Afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness to them that receive it. I'm trying to help you. The Bible said, be zealous and repent, for God loves you, and them that He loves, He also chastens. Don't despair. Don't go away grieved and upset to the extent that you're going to retaliate. Don't do that. Just submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. While Gary comes to pray with us, remember me and Brother Taylor, Sister Linda. We're laboring in the Lord, and there's others here that's trying to labor in the Lord. Remember them. Remember one another. Submit yourselves one to another and pray one for another that we might be healed, that we might be healthy and whole, and that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and that our lights might so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We need good works. They that name the name of the Lord, let them maintain good works. And let our light so shine that men may see that your light might reach out around the world. Help us. Help us. We need your help. Help us. Every one of you, we need your help. Brother Garrett.